You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Motherfucker.
Hey there.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the superstar to my Technicolor Dreamcoat, my dear friend Andy.
How's it going, man?
It is wonderful, Andy. How are you?
Oh, great, man. Dude, our podcast is reaching it's reaching out in the world. My sister told me, well, this isn't that far in the world, it's my mom, but they were listening to some music the other day and they were doing some painting, and my mom said, "Oh, what are you listening to? Is that Word Burglar?"
Oh.
She's making deep Canadian nerd rap references.
Well, she's learned a lot. As anyone who listens carefully on a week-by-week basis would. There's a lot of music to be gained from this show.
Yeah, big shout out to my mom for that Word Burglar.
Yeah.
Deep cut. That was nice.
Our silent partner, Nate, is with us, as he is each week, to make the sound happen for you. We want to thank you for listening and just talk about how much we appreciate you. It means a lot that you're here, and we are really eager to hang out with you this week. If you enjoyed the experience of hanging out with us, pass it along. We'd love for you to tell your mom about Word Burglar and Hot Garbage. Maybe your sister, maybe your aunt.
And besides that, come see us in person.
Yeah, you can see us live on June 17th. We are playing a live show at the Knife Shop at Kelly's Olympian in downtown Portland. That's Saturday, June 17th. It's going to be comedians Tim Ledwith and
Jacob Christopher, yeah,
as well as the band Dad Works Hard and our good friends in Seventh Deadly closing things down that evening. So a huge night of music, comedy, and just a little bit of Nate, Andy, and I on June 17th. So check us out. One other quick favor, as you probably heard at the beginning of this episode, we have been nominated for Best Podcast in Portland. So if you are the listening type, we're hopeful that you'll also be the voting type. And you'll visit the Willamette Week.
If you're listening, you're voting.
Go to willametteweek.com. Look for the Best of Portland. We're under the media section. And shoot us a little bit of love for Best Podcast in Portland if you think we deserve it. Tell the truth, people.
Do you?
Yeah, do you? But maybe you includes us. I think it will this week. Our guests this week were from the band The Toads. Matt and Matt were in the house. And we had a great time talking with them. They're playing a show, a Beatles cover show, on June 1st here in Portland at Funhouse Lounge in Southeast Portland. They're super busy. They play a lot of shows here in the Portland area, and they're expanding their reach throughout the Northwest. So it's a great time to catch The Toads live. You can find them on Bandcamp to check out what they've been up to. Go to wearethetoads.bandcamp.com to listen to some of their music. Wearethetoads.com is their websites, and you can find them through Facebook, Instagram, etc. Busy calendar, plenty of opportunities to see The Toads, and it's well worth your time to check out their music. They were great guys. We played some fantastic music this evening, and we learned a lot about the rules of hitchhiking across the country.
Yeah.
So real enlightening episode for us, and we hope you enjoy our conversation with The Toads on this week's episode of Hot Garbage. Do you guys think it should be the 20, so it was like 1980, should it be 2017 or 2017? Which do you prefer?
I was saying 20 from the beginning.
Yeah.
I was saying 2001.
Yeah. It's 19, then 20.
And I felt like nobody was down.
Not at first.
It didn't
and
catch.
And then like...
Well, you didn't say 19,099. Nobody said that.
Because it wasn't 19,000. That was the wrong number. Of course you wouldn't say that.
Somebody was saying it.
Yeah.
In the 1900s...
That's probability.
In the first decade, they would say like 1905,
mm-hmm.
and there were some people trying to make that catch on.
I did hear some aughts,
and back that didn't catch on.
It didn't really work.
People just started saying 2011. In 2011, mm-hmm. people were still saying 2010 a lot.
I don't want to get too political, but I feel like you can point to that era as the downfall.
Is that when
of sort of American
we
society? Yeah, that's when we. Yeah, it's when we created two Americas.
That's when it happened. It split, and we are now in the dark continuity. It's just, that's how it is.
So, Matt and Matt, how did The Toads get started? Because I know you guys are from Massachusetts, right?
Yes.
Originally, and you've been out here for a couple of years. How did the band get formed, and how did you get the Toads rolling?
Well, Matt and I met in 2009, around Christmas time. We started an acoustic vocal group with a mutual acquaintance. We had played music a little bit when we were both still in Massachusetts. And then Matt ended up in Portland. That's a longer story. But I came out here about a year and a half later, and we just did what we do, and we started a band. And I think we were both a little older and like ready to like push it way harder than we did the other things. Because the other things in Massachusetts didn't really... There's not a lot of people that know about them.
Yeah, I wouldn't really even hardly compare the experiences, at least for me personally, with Intentions. Like, this is the only band I've been in where... I would say, like, I'm in a band and identify as such, you know? Like, we're, like, the driving factor of things that I do.
Like, I was always like that because I'm more delusional.
You're like
than
that
Matt.
In our old band? Our old band was called The Bottles because I thought it was somebody thought it was a funny way to say Beatles. Just like I don't know. Oh, it's The Bottles. I don't know.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, it was just, like, stupid, like... But it reminds me right now, I'm thinking of... Mike Birbiglia has some kind of special. He's like, my wife and I, like, the funniest joke is that I say Catachusetts. Do you know? It's one of those jokes that's only funny to, like, one other person, but, like, just due to, like, repetition. But, yeah, I barely remember, like, I was here for however long I was here, and then you came, and then, like, the band just kind of, like, started. I had a drum set from Goodwill already.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, so... Once
you were getting
there.
Going on.
Because, like, having drums, that's, like, the hardest thing.
And that's a good find.
Play drums. Yeah, it was $150, so somebody told me, and I was like, I actually have $150. Let's go do it.
Yeah.
I, like, really desperately needed to, like...
That's exact amount of money I have in my pocket right now.
Yeah.
Just waiting for a purchase. So, since you guys had some history with each other, like, writing songs, no matter how seriously you were taking it before, you get out here, and it starts to become a little bit more of a regimented, serious kind of thing. What was the difference in sort of the approach? Did you guys have an idea in mind when you got together for a creative direction, or was it more of an organic jam into being sort of band?
Well, we like a lot of similar stuff. There's a pretty large overlap in our interests musically, so I think we both wanted to do pretty much the same thing. Like when we were doing The Bottles, which was like when we would play in Harvard Square and we were doing this busking thing, and it was like very much focused on the harmonies and stuff. And I remember one day Matt called me and said, I like this, but like if we could do it with more like heavier, you know, louder, more like The Replacements or something like that. And that's pretty much what The Toads is. Like we still have that Beatles-y thing going on, but there's more rock and roll in it. There's like ripping guitar solos and big drums and... all that stuff, all that good stuff. So I think that's pretty much what we wanted to do. We didn't really have to adjust what it was just more like the kind of band we always wanted to have.
I don't remember talking about it hardly at all.
We just knew. Because we pretty much, all of the songs we were playing for the first, like, almost like year and a half, almost all of them were written before we were both in Portland.
I would relate it to constipation. Because, you know, had like a million songs and then not the drums to make them happen or not the whatever, not another person in my case, really. And so, I mean, I'm aware there are other people in the world, allegedly, but like Matt D and I have a particular shared history and all this stuff that we're talking about, like knowledge of songs and this and that. So as soon as he got here, it was like, yeah, just, you know, the scene in Dumb and Dumber where he has a laxative and then he's on the toilet for a while is a bit like that. More stank, though.
Even more stank.
Yeah, dude.
So, say, had you been writing songs, Matt, since you'd been out here and you had a bunch of stuff that you had piled up? And
yeah. It's
it was just like lighting a fuse?
Sort of. I didn't really write them here, actually. Maybe some, but mostly the thing he was referring to, how I came to Portland, is like a long, accidental sort of hitchhiking journey thing. And on that trip, I had gotten picked up by somebody in Texas early on, and... he played banjo, and like we spent just basically that night, and I was traveling with somebody else that I had just met. But anyway, this guy like played banjo, it was amazing, and then eventually he came to Portland after I had like, I didn't know where I was going on the trip, right? So ended up in Portland just by whatever circumstance.
Did you have a bindle?
No, I fucking, dude. No, but I'm feeling you on the bendel.
You're the only person I know that actually has hitchhiked across the country. I just
yeah, like, I mean, basically,
I saw a guy walking
and then,
down
yeah.
Foster the other day with a honest to God bendel,
a straight up bendel.
You oh, I thought you were going to say you hitchhiked down Foster. No, thinking to do that.
Yeah,
but
it's good.
Maybe.
Especially once they drop it down to two lanes, and you can just really
yeah, it keeps people I saw see signs it. For that.
Yeah, that one building is real pissed about that. Yeah. We're getting real regional right now, but
yeah, hyper regional. Yeah. One neighborhood in Southeast Portland. Mm-hmm. I want to take a quick little detour because I am kind of curious about this. What was the impetus for your cross country exodus?
Just like the a variety of experiences that led to just being like fed up and being like just kind of like waking up from some kind of dream or like. Trance or like yeah like hypnosis state. We're like, holy shit, I wasn't able to do this or this, like what happened the last 2 years, you know? And so yeah, kind of that. But one particular thing too was that I realized I'd never been to Texas, and we really like Daniel Johnston. Mm-hmm. And like I also like the kind of the folklore of like he went to Austin and this and that happened. And I was just like, Austin, I was just like really upset with myself that I had not been to X, Y, and Z, but especially Texas. And I just like kind of thought of Daniel Johnston. And I just was like, just decided like I'm going to Austin, but I don't want to fly there. So I was like looking online, like Craigslist stuff. And so I ended up getting one of those rides pretty far somewhere. And then I met this guy on the way who was actually from the Oregon coast, it turns out. Who's like full time like traveling hitchhiking dude who really taught me like all the things
oh,
to do.
Man.
And he had a dog and everything. Just like this one of the best right people.
He was like Obi-Wan
Kenobi.
You know,
he was just one of those people where I
it's like some tramp school.
Yeah, but yeah. Just like
he taught you the
just
code
learning,
of the
you know, in different ways that I hadn't learned stuff before. And stuff that you think is like off limits or undoable. It was just like the
like,
way
so,
he did things.
I'm
but,
so curious. This is my fantasy world you're talking about. Like what was he teaching you? What were his
what was the biggest rules or some of his rules that he
rules.
Had?
Well, just like what ramp to get on, where you stand, where you don't stand, different state laws, rights you can read off, places to sleep, places not to sleep, essential items to have, looks to have, things that are cheats like having a guitar or a dog. Or a girl, these kind of things, like, oh, you'll get picked up more. So we had, like, nice clothes on eventually. He had a tux on at some point, or a suit that he bought, because he had to... His whole journey was that he was going to go crash his friend's wedding in Mexico, his friend who he hadn't seen in forever, who couldn't... Like, best friends, who, like, it would be a perfect part of their story if he just showed up, because the guy didn't know how to reach him due to where he was living. Or he was crashing the wedding in San Diego. That's right, but he had been in Mexico, so... Anyway, so that
so
yeah,
he was dressed in the nines. I have to tell you,
yeah. At one moves. Point, once we got to LA, he bought a suit and we got picked up so quick. He's like, "See,
I would have the opposite like, reaction. The guy who's hitchhiking on the side road with the tuxedo is a maniac.
I want to hear that guy's story.
I mean, especially if you're like between the coasts. I think definitely in Texas.
Yeah,
definitely the guy in Texas with the tuxedo who's hitchhiking is.
Well, dude, think about
this. He will eat
Either
your
you're
skin.
You're gonna get a really cool story, or you're gonna get killed by a fucking super cool serial killer in a suit. Like, come on,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
not a bad way to go out.
Yeah, exactly.
Touche.
That's exactly what I was thinking too.
Did anything? What was the sketchiest thing that happened? Any close calls?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, there was like a. Well, there are a couple things, but one time I thought like, or essentially we got maybe perhaps I don't know what would have happened with a bear, but we slept outside of Boulder. Like we had to like go up. Kind of like out of the town into like the woods area, and there was like kind of like it's pitch black in these woods, kind of like a found a place to sleep kind of by some abandoned tent type of thing, but this guy had a dog, and in the middle of the night like the dog woke up and went nuts and like pitch black and just like growling and blah blah blah, but
it's
we
a squatch
up.
Warning
oh there was
it's
just like this steaming bear shit like right near us.
Oh.
And we were just like I was really freaked out by that a lot, but no, just general sketchiness. I got picked up by this guy who it seemed like he had definitely been sleeping outside for all, like, just bloodshot eyes going on about conspiracies and, like, in Hollywood movies and, like, all the stuff. And he had this really old rotting produce I had to throw aside, like, broccoli, when I got in. It was just, like, a bad vibe.
Oh, don't mind
the old
broccoli.
And then there was this other guy. Okay, but, yeah, stuff goes on and on. But basically a guy who was looking for sex, but, like, pretending like he wasn't.
I see.
Pretending like he's looking for rotting.
But, like, yeah. My friend saw something, and he was just like, we got to go. Like, they were trying to split us up into two different cars, And we were just no.
That's no good.
Yeah. We got a ride with the guy, but in the same car. And we had the dog. And my friend has a knife right out the whole time, so...
Right.
Man, this dude's got it locked down.
Yeah, it's like a good thing you're supposed to have, like, to make it known, like, I have the knife. It's nothing hidden on me. It's out here. You know?
Yeah.
These are the rules, boys. I don't know. I don't make them.
That seems fair.
These all seem fair.
But, I mean, honored. I'm like, fledgling. I don't know anything, so somebody... potentially listening to this, be like, this guy doesn't know shit, and that's true. I don't know nothing on the record.
You know more than we do.
Yeah.
Andy has quite a vivid fantasy of like riding the rails and just being a trash person. And like hopping trains.
Yeah, and playing a mandolin and like singing cool like gutter punk songs.
Yeah.
That's my world. That's what I would like to do if that's like another reality that exists of me when we started seeing 2010.
In the multiverse, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think like, you know, Tony Robbins or some type would tell you, Andy, you can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not too late to abandon your family.
You're only
I'm going to take them with me. They're not going to like it at first, but they're going to have like some cool stories.
They'll be like the Boxcar Children.
Yeah. Oh, they love those books. Yeah.
Yes. Well, Matt, too, I want to get into your story as well, but let's play a little bit of music. I know you guys brought some tracks to share. What's the first song you'd like to play this evening?
I have one in my head.
Go for it.
Okay. I was thinking a song by... The band is actually called Creature Hole now, but they used to be called Garlic Man and Chicken.
Yes.
And I forget the song I put on there. It might be my stank. It might be... I feel like it's my stank, but they're...
I feel like it is your stank.
It's going to be somebody's stank.
These two young women we have met a while ago, we met them, and they're just... I won't explain too much. They're great.
And what are they called now?
Creature Hole, which is the name of the album that this is actually off, so then they like became... the album.
Fantastic. Know. Let's check out some Creature Hole.
Yeah.
My pee smells like coffee because I drink a double shot. My breath smells like lung because I smoke on full whip pie. It's like hot soup, booty like doo-doo. Fingers like stink coops, like vagina juice. A face like I'm trying to poo. Stank ass, stank that bean dip. It can't so go. Don't look at me, it's the first thing that I'm saying when I'm letting one breathe. It's my stank. It's my stank. Special blends, stick it in.
Broil me or fry me. Cluck what you heard. I'm the foulest bird. Smell me now, smell me later. Crack my shell, check the waiters. If you like the smell of toot juice, hop on my caboose. I don't need no rooster, no please, but thanks, excuse, sir. Sure, I'm cute, but have you smoked that stink that I just dealt? It's a package, I've got cracked. It shows a salmonella mill. Icky feet, sticky beak, ain't a leak. I know I reek. I really enjoy all kinds of essences that are mine. Don't be scared, I love to share. Just be aware, my wealth is rare.
No law that tells me that I have to wash and dry my training bra. Raw, no thaw. If you have to wait or hesitate, you cannot no thought. Wait or hesitate, you cannot
Garlic in the onion genus, garlic got a funyun penis. Central Asia, Africa, Europe, ancient Egyptian sinus. These must take a vampire, antiseptic, World War II. Disinfecting for infections, regulate blood sugar too. They call me halitosis. Can't help when you've been around me when they knew you and they noticed. Cause I'll creep into your blood. And if you are allergic, I might give you diarrhea. Some say I come from Satan's left footprint, and there was an onion in the right. And there are multiple accounts of garlic causing hot desire with spice. Well, there's one thing I know, I got the stink on me that I'm putting on you. And I'm the king of stink, I'm rolling with the stink ass crew.
I'm
So, Matt, too, did you take a more traditional route?
I sure did. Yeah, my story is way more boring.
Just kind of like a six-hour flight.
Matt Cain story. Yeah, I was basically like we were the last thing that me and Matt were doing together. This is like 2012. It's like fall 2011, winter 2012. There was a guy named Tim, and we were like his rhythm section, and the band was called Power Animal. And ooh, Tim, he wrote these like very nice, like very simple power pop kind of songs. And we did a few things with that. We played a lot of shows. Like I couldn't always make it to the shows, and then Matt would play drums at those shows. But like sometime around March, like I think we played like a show, and then the next thing I knew from Matt, like he was just on the road, and like he would just call me occasionally, and he'd be in a different city like every time, and it was just like, whoa, shit, like this person's like doing the most interesting thing of anybody I know. And like eventually he made it back. Like there's a lot more. Like he arrived with his friend the banjo player in like November 2012 like in Boston, and just like I worked security at an art museum, and I just saw him on the camera like with his backpack and his guitar and this banjo kid, and I was like, holy shit. And like they played their whole set for me in Harvard Square.
That's pretty crazy.
And I was like blown away. It was like the best shit that I'd ever seen. Like just like I thought they were like gonna be like huge. Like I was like really excited for them. I almost like ran away with them, and then like I changed my mind really fast because I got scared. But then like Matt was back for a little while, and then he just went off to Portland, and like I just did nothing pretty much. Like I worked my art museum job, and like I just hung out and like smoked weed and didn't have a lot of friends and didn't do much. And like I had a girlfriend and I moved in with her for a few months, and then that didn't work out. And then I was kind of stuck because like she was like 2 hours outside of Boston, and like I didn't want to go back to Boston because I was kind of embarrassed that I got off and like didn't want to come back to my same job and everything. So I was like, well, I know somebody in Portland, Oregon. And like I just got on a plane basically and came here.
Wow.
And I love
that's
that.
That's about it.
I love both those stories. Those are, I mean, that is a bit more traditional than, you know, hitchhiking back and forth. But still, that's a big jump to take. And, you know, I like that it was at least partially driven by the fear of shame of returning and digging back in.
It was just like, you know, I could have gone back to my exact same life. Like, I was just living with some random roommates who were all really, like, cool people and stuff. But, like, I just wasn't doing anything, and, like, I might as well just go do nothing somewhere else. I, you know, like that would like be the worst case scenario.
And scenery, when you, backdrop, yeah. Of nothingness.
When you jump like 3,500 miles, that counts as something. So that no matter what you're doing when you get there, you got that feather in your cap. I did the same.
Yeah,
thing.
It was exciting. It was like I was on vacation for the first couple months, and I was like, oh shit, I need a job. Like, and that turned out I ended up getting a job at the art museum, and so like. My life is like very similar, like but
it's a mirror image. Yeah,
3,000 miles, and with like an active band, like the kind that I wanted back home that I was never able to get together. It's more expensive in Boston and stuff, and like we like forming a band, like we got into a practice space pretty quick, but like in Boston, it was like just there were like less places for like where there were practice rooms, and like. There were waiting lists for them, and like it was all just very mysterious, like esoteric, like Eyes Wide Shut shit. Like you didn't, like you had to be in this world, you know, and like
many black cloaks.
I don't know. There's like people can say whatever they want about the Portland music scene, but it is to me more open than what I experienced in Boston. But I'm not the most forthcoming person, so maybe I didn't give enough. But there is a lot of good music coming out of Boston too. So
it seems like
it's easier to have a band here for me. And it's doing much better than anything I did.
Well, I'm
there.
Curious, like, okay, so how do you come to a new place and start doing something like that from fresh? I'm not talking about like how you form a band or how you write songs, but how do you start building attention and connections and when you're starting from scratch?
It's extremely difficult.
Do you pretend you do all the things you think you should do? Like we decided to make a website really early on to be like, all right, we're paying to do that, so let's like. Now we have that. Why'd we pay a guy to do that? We better have better, you know, let's book shows. We just look through all the papers, find all the places, email all of them, make some kind of recording, send it to, you know, just do all the stuff that you think you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
and then
just,
check with other people and see what they do. And then, yeah, you know, you don't want to follow somebody else's exactly, oh, what you got to do is show up to this place, ask for Tim, he'll be there at 5. Then you want to go over to the, you know, or whatever the fuck somebody will tell you to do. But although, so yeah, I think that was the big thing for me. We would just kind of scheme a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I was just like that's where I relate it to constipation. We're just like, there's toilet, like, oh, you know, let's go do this thing, you know. So, like we've been secretly like waiting to like do these things, you know, because we're like songwriter people or whatever, but unable to have a, well, you know, a platform or whatever to like, our songs probably sound fine on acoustic guitars, but like now that we have all the equipment that we need, like, it's so much more exciting. So with that excitement, you want to go out and like, you know, book the shows or whatever. So yeah, I think we just pretended, just emailed.
Yeah, I mean, there was a day where we just sat down with the Mercury and we looked up every single club that was in the listings and tried to figure out if they had anything to do with rock and roll. And then we emailed like 30 of them just that day, and like three got back to us.
Like outrageous, I mean, not outrageous emails, but sometimes like funny.
Yeah, we
funny
just,
stuff
because
you know
we
what
had
I mean?
No nothing to recommend us, so we would just be funny and tell jokes, and like we figured we were either going to come off as total tools or like clever. So, it seemed like a better risk than just being like, hey, we have a band that no one gives a shit
Please
about.
Please check out our band camp. It's like, really great.
Why don't you? And that kind of did okay. And like, because like the whole music scene is like basically like based on social connections. Like, and we didn't have almost any.
Well, that's what I was really
curious
about.
And the ones that
we
had were almost like too like big to like work, you know? So like, we just, got to know the people that we played with, and we tried to play as many shows as we could. We've always, even still, pretty much played like 3 or 4 shows a month, sometimes more. And like, we would just like, we get to know people, or like, just you hear something and you see somebody, and like, we just kind of kept it on like our level. Like, I know there's some bands, like, their theory is like, let's just try to open for bigger bands all the time.
Yeah,
like, we didn't really do that because I think it was kind of like, for me at least, like, I just felt too shy, sort of. Like, and I was more comfortable like talking to a band that seemed like on my level of like obscurity, you know. And like, there's also this thing like, it's cooler almost to like, let's just start our own scene, like, because we love all these people. Like, we got a show at Ash Street, and we met this guy, Gerard Garenzwy, who's a fantastic singer, songwriter, piano player. And like, that was like our second show, and like, we've had him back like 3 or 4 times to play with, and like,
he's our good fucking friend.
Yeah, he's our friend, you know. And like, we had a little scene, like, some people have left. Like, we loved this band called Daisy Deaths, and Duncan, the frontman of that band, like, is in Pittsburgh now and stuff. But like, that just always seemed more exciting. And like, as we've gotten to know people, like, you know, we are very active and sort of like talking about our band all the time to everybody. And so like, eventually things start to spread, and like, you can't play like, we'll probably have played 100 shows by October or something in Portland.
Jeez. Fear of death is a motivating factor. Like, we just,
so like, that does tend, that does actually resonate. It still works sort of to play a lot of shows just to do that. And we are getting to know people, and the thing is just radiating a little more.
Do you ever think it's going to be necessary that you'll get to this point where you want to dial it back here?
Yeah,
ever,
I mean, we've
is there
already
ever a tipping point
started
kind of
to do
like
what
that a little bit, like, in the sense of like, we're more interested now than we've ever been in playing out of town. We did our first tour. It wasn't a consecutive series of dates. It was like a few weekends in February and March, in Oregon, just the state of Oregon. We want to do more of that. Just not so much like, I mean, we're just a little bored sometimes playing the same places over and over again, the same sorts of shows. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so it's starting to get like that. Like, I see us like being a while away from just like playing like 5 times a year in our hometown. I don't see that really happening.
Well, cause that gets boring in the other direction too. I mean, you want to get up there and play.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's just fun to get up and do it.
Yeah.
And, like, most shows didn't feel like they weren't worth it. And then after a while, like, oh, you play the same dive bar, like, 10 times, and, like, there's nobody there, and the people who are there aren't there for you, and they don't care. And it's like, we might as well just be in our practice space.
Yeah.
But honestly, for the first, like, year and a half, I almost never really felt like that. Like, I was just like, oh, I'm doing my thing. I'm up here. And, like, it's just, it was great. Like, you know, it's like generally going to be the highlight of your week just to be able to get up and like be loud and yell into a microphone your songs, you know. It's something that
it's a privilege.
Reminds you of, it is a privilege. It is. Even for no one.
Well, Andy, let's hear a little bit of music. I know that you've been sitting on some gems. And
I came across this band because of another band I really like from Chicago called The Walters. This band called The Symposium has recently gone on tour with them down through like D.C. and New York recently. And they just put out a new album. Let's see what it's called. It's called something.
It's always a mystery.
Yeah, it's just buried here in this cracked, destroyed iPod. Ah, okay. It's a self-titled album, but this is the song that's called Streams. I really like this song. These guys are kind of like Dr. Dog meets the Beatles kind of thing, too.
Oh, and so I'm all ears. Let's check it out.
It's Streams with two E's.
Oh, Streams. Streams.
Thank you.
So I'm curious, what if you guys individually, I suppose, what are your sort of your biggest musical influences when you go all the way back? What were the first formative, like, musicians or artists that you were really into?
All like just the radio. I really liked like MC Hammer, like a lot, and stuff like MC Hammer, TLC, Boyz II Men. I liked the Spice Girls. I just liked like all the radio stuff, and like then like MTV. I was just like really into all that, but then, you know, evolved. But that was like the first stuff that I thought was like the coolest. I even liked, I think it was Gloria Estefan. My mom had one of those CDs in the car. Yeah. I just liked like all the catchiest show. I didn't know anything else. So that was like all, but MC Hammer was like a big psychological, had a hold on. Like I was breakdancing and everything. I just thought it was like the greatest.
Was You Can't Touch This, or was it Too Legit to Quit that got you?
Oh man, we're too
that's
legit
a good
to
question. I think
out.
It was just when a beat came on, I was just like crazy and into it, and just like ding, ding, just the whole thing. But I'm thinking Can't Touch This right now.
Do you
but
guys
I'm
remember
trying to think if that's on the same shit. Tape. I had a tape and just like.
Do you remember when they fucking premiered Too Legit to Quit on MTV? The video, were you guys?
I was super young, absolutely. So I don't know. I just
that was one of the first tapes I ever owned. Was that
I watched
Too Legit
it
to Quit
live,
tape.
And I was so pumped.
Was it the video
like
where he's like, 15-minute
video.
He's like working out in hell or something like that, and he's got like suspenders, and it's very sweaty.
It's a lot of like people walking through like landscapes, and then they are swinging chains, and there's a lot of fire.
Yeah, sweat running all over my chest. Mm-hmm. I don't quit. No, I just press. Harder
How
than
about
I
that
ever
Adam's Family theme song?
Yeah, love that one. That was a hot jam.
That absolutely
was dope. And Wednesday was looking good because I was right the same age. Now it's super creepy, but when I was the same age as her and the movie came out, it was
that
like,
actress is still alive. She's aged with you.
Yeah, it's true.
Those are some of the best the movie collaborations. So I was just thinking of Vanilla Ice and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
The Ninja rap.
That was like
some.
I loved
moment.
That kind of stuff. How about Stevie Wonder and Will Smith, Wild Wild West for the film?
Oh my God.
Wild Wild West.
You're talking about
What is your favorite? What's your favorite song that describes the plot of a movie?
Oh, maybe the Men in Black one. I was just thinking.
That is really good.
That one's like super good, but
he really breaks down the whole plot of the movie in that song. Will Smith.
You don't ever think about it, but Ace Ventura, Tone Loke does the credit song.
What?
Oh, I was just thinking Secret Agent Man in that, but it doesn't really do much. But
how about Grandma's Boy?
Grandma's Boy is another one.
It's a weird one.
I don't know who does
it. Just
it,
keeps
but
going, Grandma's Boy.
Yeah. But it tells the story of the movie. I love that. Mm. I love that convention. I think all movies should do that.
How about all the Christmas or all the vacation movies? Especially Christmas Vacation.
Those are the opening credits, actually.
Yeah, it's just the opening credits.
Oh, they have songs that I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
Do Christmas Vacation. That's all I remember.
Oh, man. Yeah. Rock and Roll like High that. School would be an obvious one, too.
Yeah, that one's solid.
So just some radio jams. I'm surprised. I mean, the Spice Girls, that sticks out to me.
I don't know, man. I remember having it and being slightly less willing to share with others that I had it. You know, like I had the whole thing.
Say You'll
CDs
Be There
in my room.
Is a fucking hot jam.
I don't know. Care. I was just really into like song. all the sugariest, like, that was all I really knew what to look for.
What
I
about
just listened to it for so long and got hooked on it like an addict, you know. But
what about you, Matt? When you were, you know, like 11, 12, what were you really getting into?
I don't know. I was never into music, and like that ended a lot of potential friendships because the kid would, you know, like would try to make small talk and be like, "What music do you listen to?" And I'd be like, "None, nothing." And he'd be like, "Oh, you must be a sociopath. I'll go to the other side of the playground." But like
that is the unavoidable conclusion. Unfortunately,
I had a friend in third grade in the Cub Scouts with me, and he probably wouldn't have talked to me unless we had been in Cub Scouts together. But I kind of realized one day that I wasn't cool, and I was like, "What's cool?
Day.
What's cool music?" And he's like, "Green Day," and I was like, "Okay." So I told my dad to get me a Green Day tape when we were at this music store. And I listened to it, and I loved it. I thought it was great. And then my dad found out the guy was talking about masturbation and shit like that. So he, like, took it and, like, edited it down to, like, 3 songs. But,
an edited Green Day tape. That's amazing.
I also had, like,
parental editing.
A We went to a thrift shop from the Massachusetts Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Children, and I found a record there. It was like, it was cool because it was a 45 that was like yellow clear vinyl, and it was by this band called Indian Rope Burn. And my dad said, that's an indie record. They made it themselves. And I was like, wow, I never heard any music from Indiana before. And I thought that it was like John Milliken. Genre of rock somewhere in Indiana. And it was pretty bad music. Like it was very flat singing and like stupid lyrics.
Not unlike the state of Indiana.
But it was like my record, and no one else knew who Indian Rope Burn was. And I was very proud of it, and I listened to it all the time. But like, I mean, later on, I got older, like in like middle school, like I would just listen to the pop radio, like adult contemporary, like bullshit, like
Genesis,
like Matchbox 20. Like they would play that kind of stuff, like Fastball, Bare Naked Ladies, like whatever was that kind of stuff, like not like electronic pop music really, but like my sister loved Britney Spears and all that shit. And like I loved The Spice Girls' Say You Be There. Was a great song.
It's a fantastic
song. I didn't get into music until I was in high school. I just listened to whatever was on the radio. It was pretty much the same.
Did you guys watch it, though? Sorry.
The Spice World movie?
Spice World?
No, I never saw that.
My sister was really into it, and she had that VHS tape, and we watched it so much. It was just basically like all their songs in a movie format. They were just walking from scene to scene.
I'm okay with that.
Like, similar to the Hard Day's Night by
the
Beatles.
Trying to take away.
Or like the Monkey's Head.
We're going to take away the deal.
That's a good film.
It is a good film.
I still haven't seen that one. I know.
It's a weird movie.
It's super
it's
weird.
Much more interesting than you think the Monkeys would have been.
There's a song called Porpoise Song, I think, is from that movie. It's real trippy. Mm. Some good Monkeys. I'm interested because, so I feel like the pop influence definitely stands out in your music, particularly in the harmonies. Have you guys always been singers, like first and foremost? Because the harmonies are so natural and so tight in your music, and I feel like that really stands out.
Well, for me, harmonizing was something my dad had a bunch of musical equipment that like he had this, you know, desk job, and he would buy it and be like, I'm going to make songs, and he never got around to it. So I would just use it. And he kept acquiring it, though. So, like, I had, like, recording equipment or whatever. And so I started making my own songs. But, like, I couldn't really play anything. So, like, all I could do was, like, play, like, shitty rhythm guitar and, like bass. I had no idea what bass was supposed to do. And, like, machine drums. And so I would just harmonize with myself because I didn't have any other way to make the song more interesting. And I had no idea how to do harmony. So, like, I just learned how to do it because it was, like, something that it was easy to make the song, like, more. Oh, here's another thing that'll hide all the mistakes I was making in those other tracks, maybe, or, like, distract people. But, I mean, I love it. Like, I didn't get into the Beach Boys until a little later, like, after high school. But, like, you know, you catch on to it, and then you, like, figure it out, and, like, you're whatever, like, in the car or something, and you're just, like, harmonizing over everything to figure out what sounds good.
Yeah.
You know? And it becomes like a game to just figure out what the harmony is.
Do you guys work together on Toad songs to harmonize, or is it something that one person comes up with a melody line and figures it out and brings it to the table? Or?
Yeah, we arrange the songs together. Usually we have already written, or we kind of work on the songs, the basic elements of the songs separately. And then, like, you know, I'm the bass player, so I generally write the bass line. If Matt has a thing that the bass needs to do in this part, then I'll do it, you know? Mm. And it's the same with whoever our drummer is. Like,
yeah, it's song service, you know? Imagining that the song is...
serve the song.
Yeah.
Is it
written on a large board.
Is that true?
No.
I like the idea that musicians always know what they're doing and have a secret way of thinking about everything all the time. Mm. That's one of my favorite things to think about. So if you guys had a board,
would
be amazing.
I would say that all bands do, and you know,
they definitely don't.
It's not written down all the time, but I could write down a set of rules that we'd probably both look at and be like, "Yep, we do that."
Yeah, we have tricks.
You know what I mean?
We have things we like. And
my friend Blaine put it pretty well. He said every band has their own band math.
Mm. Yeah, right. Sure.
Yeah.
It's all different.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're like, I mean, yeah. Like if I, you know, or Matt D has a song, like we're working on new stuff today, like we pretty much know even like the realm of suggestions of things I might say, hey, could the guitar do this or this, you know? And like, usually I'm not too far off. Like, you're never like, oh, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're kind of in a realm. We have an understanding. We don't like to talk about it because then, you know, it's like you're labeling it and, you know, it's good when it's mysterious and you're trying to start, look around
and
for it. But
there's
it's there somewhere.
Baseline respect for what the other person is doing. You don't want to step on toes.
Yeah.
But you don't want to do something you hate either. So there's that line of compromise, which has generally been pretty well towed between us.
Ooh. Three toed.
Yes.
Well, let's listen to some music. I know you guys brought some of your own stuff. Is there a particular Toad song that you could share with us now?
We just have one.
Yeah. I have
one
a
is all you
I
need.
Think we have a couple of songs on there. One is all it's you basically need. Just our most recent single. We have Portland, Oregon. That's the song we should play, I think.
It's playing in Japan at one
it
bar.
It is at the PDX Tap Room. We have contacted the PDX Tap Room in Tokyo, Japan, and I've been told that they will be playing it there. Over the
we
last
should
speakers.
Have them hold the phone up.
That's amazing. We have oh, listeners in Tokyo.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can go
great.
There and verify this.
Go to the PDX
tap
room.
PDX tap room. I hear that it's kind of a hot place and that there might be a line or something.
Steaming hot garbage.
Maybe they're broadcasting hot garbage in this PDX tap room.
I love it.
That'd be cool.
I hope we're their only window to Portland. I hope that we're their very skewed perspective on what's actually happening.
Just music and podcasts of Portland, yeah.
We are to PDX Taproom in Tokyo, what Tokyo is to us. And with that, let's check out the song Portland, Oregon by the Toads.
There's a city I've heard of in South Northwest. It rains a bit much, but this place is the best. There's artisan everything, boutique stores, food carts, amusements, and smorgasbord. And everyone's mellow and everyone's chill. Like Aleister Crowley, they do what they will. And tipping is big here, so don't be a jerk. If you stay for a while, you might find work in Portland. Oregon, somebody's porch light is always on in Portland. Oregon, you better get there soon before it becomes uncool. There's all different genders and all different creeds, crystals and herbs and astrology. Critical theory and radical scenes. Protesters leave but we by police. There's mountains and rivers and endless farts. And reefer is legal and everyone's smart. You can stay on the couches for 10 years or more. And everyone's friendly until they ignore you in Portland, Oregon. Somebody's porch light is always on in Portland. Get there soon before it becomes uncool. And everyone's artisan putting on shows. It's elaborate beer and eccentric clothes. 30s are 20s and 20s are teens. With shitty smiles and shiny white teeth in Portland. Existence the only goal, and no one has money but nobody minds. They'll pay the rent in their own good time in Portland, Oregon. Somebody's porch light is always on in Portland, Oregon. You better get there soon.
Sure. You guys down to try to play a little game with us?
Okay.
There's
hold on. Depends on the game, but
okay.
Explain.
This game is really, it's a high-risk, high-reward game called License Plate Detective. So Andy in the world will have seen real vanity plates, but he has no idea what they actually mean or what they were going for. So he'll give us a few that he's stumped by, and we'll try to help him decide what maybe the plate was. So you can see how this would be either really great to listen to or really terrible to listen to.
I see. Okay.
I love it. It's one of my favorite segments.
So we'll give it a try. You love administering it?
Yeah, I just think it's great. I just see this shit out in the world. This one really, I liked a lot. S-M-R-O-F-F.
S-M-R, so like...
S-M-R.
I thought Smirnoff immediately.
Yeah.
Oh,
this was a party.
So I was thinking of Smirnoff.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking small men really only fake fatalities.
Whoa. Yeah, it could be. That's deep.
Am I wrong?
It's a ska band.
I thought it was like a Smirnoff. Like they're just
yeah.
Like,
no, you guys, Smirnoff, you would think that, but.
It's actually.
Yeah. So weird. When did you photograph my car, man?
Oh, this one was really good. This is the big tan pickup truck, and it was just J-O.
J-O.
Well, yeah. Okay, there's an obvious one there.
Yeah. This is the dude's jack-off truck.
This is the what a jerk-off.
Yeah.
Just in favor of jacking off, generally.
Yeah.
That's what I do, buddy.
Was it an extended cap?
That's my shit.
No, you guys are all wrong. Yeah, that's reverse OJ.
Oh, it's different. Right.
Think about what's the opposite of OJ?
The OJ verdict?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Now you're thinking.
Reverse the OJ verdict, so their license plate is J-O.
Meet me at a cemetery somewhere. I'll tell you everything.
What is the opposite of orange juice?
Exactly.
Grape juice.
Curdled milk?
No, it's potato vodka.
Ooh.
That makes sense.
See? Damn. These are the kind
of... Yeah.
The opposite of a juice. You think. It can't be made from a fruit. It's got to be made from a vegetable. Mm-hmm.
Oh, here was another
what a great license plate.
Yeah, that was a good one.
You shouldn't drink potato vodka in the morning.
No.
It's a protest.
But if you put it in your orange juice, bam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a pick-me-up is what that's called.
So it's like a Mobius strip of OJ and potato vodka.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
What else you got, Andy? We're doing okay. We're keeping things moving.
C-U-P-T.
C-U-P-T?
Yeah. Or it could be cupped.
Could be cupped? Yeah.
I've been cupped. Is this a person who's really into cupping?
Yeah.
I think
C-U-P-T.
It's someone like his wife's name is like
Patty
Tina. I see you P T. You know, he just watches her pee. They have a door open policy in their house.
Children ultimately play together. Mm-hmm. Or cupped. Am I wrong?
I've heard of that organization. They do good work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ultimately. Children do play together.
Yeah.
If given time.
Can't understand
exactly.
Pre-teens.
It's about understanding. Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, that's like a frustrated parent.
Okay.
Yeah. Or like somebody trying to watch the Disney Channel.
Whenever someone like you has a really great idea like that one, I always think of like paying, like the person's mindset of paying that extra like $100 to express this really esoteric thought. So I'm always like really hopeful that you're exactly right. In fact, I think you are. Can't understand preteens.
Yeah. Just they need to be like, God damn, my daughter, I just don't know.
Let me ask
like,
you something.
Becoming distant.
I'm a real cupped over here.
Can't or won't?
Whooped.
Think about that, Dad.
Yeah, well, that's a question for the owner of that plate.
You know?
Yeah.
Andy, you got one more for us before things get really off the rails? We almost lost it there, but we cupped it back.
I've been saving this one for a while.
Oh.
It's just J-Magic.
J-Magic.
Is this guy like a J magician? Is
I
this
think
like
it's
some kind of weed
I think it's
warlock.
Julius Erving.
Oh, J-Magic.
J Magic could be the name of a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the name of a pimp.
It could be.
It
or
could
a
be
wee wizard.
a magician,
dude.
A magician
who's really good at
like a
jack off magic.
There's so many different words to start with J. It's incredible where the mind goes. The mind.
It's true.
The one mind. It goes to the same place. It's not really that incredible. All roads lead to jacking off.
Ultimately.
Yeah. That car is driving to J Magic Land. Yeah, I think it's one of those three. I like the name J Magic as a pimp name. I think that's really plausible.
That's a really cool name.
That's pretty cool.
Or J is it Magic. Like a is it like a genre of magic?
Don't make me call J Magic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Andy, one more. If you got one more, I think we can. I think that's enough. I think that's enough detective work for one night.
These are all from Portland?
Yeah, these are all from Portland.
That you've just taken?
Driving just in between here and Seattle.
Oh, that's great. People, we used to exchange pictures of graffiti to each other from Boston to Portland.
Nice.
Do similar stuff, but usually they have a better message than plates you're trying to decipher.
Yeah, most of these are bad.
Yeah, no, they're great. They're great. They
not
get
as good
your
as
mind,
graffiti.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We're all learning right now.
I'm learning
new
a lot.
New synapses forming and, you know, neural pathways.
Neurogenesis.
Neurogenesis, motherfuckers.
Oh, here we go. This one's good. J-A-Y-B-U-C.
J-Buck.
J-Buck.
J-Buck. Do you think this is also about jacking off?
No, that's this
am
is
I
an intense.
Into it too far?
For once, I actually don't think it is.
No, dude.
J Magic, that's obvious.
Yeah.
It's J Buchanan.
No, it's an
it's just his name.
Yeah.
It's just the guy's name.
It's just J Buchanan.
No. He just wanted people to know. It was like it's like your mother puts your name on all your clothes, like irons a little label into them.
You don't want to lose your truck.
Oh,
so
guys. How do you guys not know?
But I can't believe they stole my truck. It had my name on it.
Well, they always
why can't
say
you
like
find it.
They always tell little kids that you don't want to have a vanity plate with your name because you don't want strangers to be able to take advantage of you.
Yeah.
Right. Like, well, Jay Buchanan doesn't understand that.
Yeah, like, no. Hey, Jay, we went to high school together. How are you? Can I borrow $20? Jay.
These are
or
tribute
maybe
plates.
Just a dude named Jay, and he gets real buck.
Oh.
Buck.
This is a massive Jeff Buckley fan.
Okay.
Jay Buck.
Yeah. Yes,
and you guys are just,
Jay
again.
Bucks, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You
know.
Only real fans call him Jay Buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
So...
Yeah,
mystery solved.
Mystery solved. All right.
That's a good way to go out. I appreciate you guys playing along with some license plate detector. That was pretty good, Andy.
No
good,
solid guys.
Good snooping. What's the next song you'd like to play?
Oh, man. We need to listen to something super loud.
Okay.
It's a band from Portland called Truck. They just put out an album called Spit. And it's loud as fuck, and it's awesome. They call themselves Anti-Instrumentalists. They're another two-piece. Sometimes the drummer plays a trombone.
Sometimes he doesn't. Let's
Sometimes
check out
doesn't.
Some Truck. I know you guys have been working on a new EP. Is it out now? Is that music live and available?
Not yet. No, that's July 23rd will be the release date.
Nice.
What's that process been like? Tell us a little bit about that record.
We recorded for 2 days in November, but we just wait to get it mixed or whatever it meant. We've been to a couple mixing sessions, but I've already lost that focus of like going to check it out, but just waiting. So technically, there's no more work to be done on our end. It was just like 2 days. All the work comes for us before it, figuring out how to play the songs and all that. So it's like yesterday's news, but it hasn't come out yet. So
I see.
It's very odd to be like, we're talking about levels of.
It's like a Hollywood movie.
Being a
man.
musician or whatever, and I don't know. So we're waiting. But Matt D probably did more work than me in terms of listening to it and telling them what to do, because I'm no whatever for it.
We're just ahead of ourselves. We got all this new. We got all these new songs. Like, we recorded this EP in November, and it was basically we made a record in November 2015 that was all of. We tried to just record pretty much everything that we did, like on a regular basis in our live show. And we recorded like 22 songs or something in like 2 days. And then we got it down to like 13 maybe for the record. And then we had another three that were still good that we put out the following October. That was Always Be Nice EP. And then we still had some left over that weren't recorded to our like standards the first time. So we went in and we did those. That was like 9 songs, and 2 of them were the single that we just released in April that we just heard, the Portland, Oregon song, and Your Enemy Is You, which is Matt's song.
That song's great too. I like that a lot.
Thanks.
Check it out.
I like playing that because I wrote a very demanding bass line for it, and I stare hard at it.
It's a fun part of for me. I write a pretty like easy song to play on guitar, like cool, but then like the bass lines just make a million times better.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fun, and I do a little less work, but like reap the benefits by like instigating, like, hey, you got to write a bass line to this song and improve it. Which is what happened.
I like how you really just foisted upon the creative process. Yeah,
I had a version of the song I did where like I had done the bass on it, but just not even. Matt D, for anybody who pays attention to bass players and stuff, I know I play in the same band with him, but he's one of the top dogs on bass.
Take that, other dogs.
Yeah.
Secondary dogs. Do your songs kind of come out fully formed, or is there sort of an evolution from when you write them initially to when they get recorded and kind of codified?
Sometimes for me, something is like I wrote like four or five songs in December, pretty much like just in like 3 hours, like one afternoon, and I tweaked them a little bit. Like subsequently, but they're pretty much the same. And then you bring them to the band and it's like, oh, we should cut this down a bit, like, or you know, there's a little bit more editing that happens. But pretty much like I feel like, especially in the last like few years, like I just like will like make a song basically and that it doesn't change much. Like it might take me a while to come up with words to put over it. But like the basic idea of it is usually the same. Like, but in the past, I've had other songs that like, there's a song we actually do in the Toes called "My Girlfriend's a Ghost," and like, I wrote the verse to that in like 2003, and then I wrote the rest of it in 2008. Like, it took me that long.
In that time, your girlfriend became a real ghost.
I didn't even have any girlfriends up through that whole 5 years.
Or did you?
Which might have been why I was preoccupied with this ghost. But like it can take forever. Like, you just have this idea that you like, but you don't know what to do with it, and you're just like, fuck it, and put it in the file, you know? And like, I made an album at that time. Like, that was one of the little pieces that I took out of the file, and I was just looking through everything I had thought. Like, I was like, I'm gonna make like a huge album. It's gonna be like this masterpiece. But then I ran out of ideas at the moment, so I just went through all my old ideas and tried to finish them. So that can happen sometimes. Like, songs can take forever, or they can take like two minutes to write. Like, supposedly, like, the song "And Your Bird Can Sing" by the Beatles, like, John Lennon just wrote that when he was high, like, in like a half hour, and they immediately recorded it, and that was it. Crazy. You know? But then, like, the song "When I'm 64" is something that Paul McCartney was writing when he was like a teenager on the piano in his parents' house.
And then yesterday
he waited like 20, you know? Yeah, yesterday came to him in a dream, supposedly. So, like, it's I think it's the same for a lot of people. Yeah. Like,
we have a membership at the float tank place, and that's where we come up with our songs.
Oh, man.
We
float. I love that place.
Float on? Love that.
Yeah,
float
we try on, to link brains and upload when we're floating, like if you sleep. Fuck, in the man. Same space. Yeah, we read up on that
you
shit.
You ever get that salt in your eyes and one mouth?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Horrible.
Oh, nobody warned me about that,
that's
man.
That's how I wrote
your PSA,
die.
If you're going to go float, look out for that motherfucking salt. Because it'll serious. Ruin your whole, you're trying to be chill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you will not be chill.
You take a shower.
They
and,
should
like,
have
wash
a goddamn written on just a plaque everywhere. You can't miss it.
Jeez. Water's not for drinking.
Yeah.
It's for floating.
Oh, that's true, but it just gets right in that eye.
I know.
Eye.
It does.
It is abnormally stingy.
Well, yeah, because your face kind of sinks in up to about the eye level. So if you're not very careful, it's going to get those corners.
Yeah, dude.
The salty corners.
I wish you had just told me that, right? But, I mean,
I didn't
before,
know. I had to learn the hard way.
No,
they
me
gave
too.
You the
that's
little pillow, though.
Somebody.
Oh, man, you can. They do give you one if you want one.
Yeah. I like how in that place they give you, I was surprised. A, that you get your whole room to yourself with its own like shower stall.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
very nice, very comfortable.
It's good.
You can really relax and be nude in an open space. It's
absolutely.
Great.
It's a good time.
And it also, I was surprised by how it's like climbing into a long washing machine.
Yeah.
It's not a very elegant vessel.
It depends.
For floating
they have a lot of different ones, but they have ones now that look like.
You must have been in the washing machine room.
I know the one that you're laundry. Talking about, I think.
Yeah, it looks like some kind of old-fashioned decompression chamber
yeah,
that
yeah.
you're about to
mm-hmm.
be in.
It made me feel like they would have that on the Enterprise in Star Trek. There'd be the float tanks you could just go into because you're like in space forever and you just need some way to like zen out mm-hmm. like fast.
Yeah.
I had that vibe like this. I was in one that was like a little egg sort of thing.
That's how I always imagined them. Maybe from The Simpsons. There's an episode of The Simpsons where they get into them and they're egg-shaped, but I always thought they were.
Wait, they get into float tanks?
Yeah, there's
these
an episode
must be newer
where,
ones, huh?
Huh?
Like when?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe this was season episode, right? 14 or something like
really?
That.
Really? Yeah.
So
wait,
like,
she does a float tank?
Yeah.
What?
Lisa and Homer go
we gotta
to...
You got to find that episode.
Where yeah. do they go to an establishment?
Yeah, they go to something that's like Float On here in Portland.
Okay, there's no...
And
I was just thinking about Dr. Nick being involved, like, hello, everybody. Snap into the tank and we shut the door. You'll have magical dreams.
No, but that was how I had first
just
come across
give me
it.
Your credit card and we will wake you up.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Could be an alternate episode. You could write like a spec script for if you want to get on staff. But
right now, they're already listening to this and leeching this. They got it written down. Now it's gone.
Well, yeah, they're getting to the point where they're recycling their own ideas.
And they're
so
deleting
I think this is valid.
This, yeah.
I'm curious. You guys actually seem pretty thoughtful and planned out about how you kind of execute and have a pretty clear vision for your sound and things like that. But what are your ambitions? Is there a plan for this? Is there some place you would like to? Like for the Toads to go, and what kind of trajectory do you see for yourselves?
Just for me, always been to make money off the thing I like to do, which would be this, or you know, playing music and stuff, traveling, seeing the world before I die. It's a lot of the death stuff. Gotta go out and see the world. I don't want to save up money and work somewhere and go be a tourist somewhere. I'd like to go somewhere and provide the little service that we provide or whatever you want to call it. So that's my thing. You know, like, wow, the world is big. I'm only on this little dot. You know, I'm looking at this, whatever this map is here that I've never seen The Walking Dead. I'm imagining that's where the events happen
yeah,
that
the
makes
map
people
of, the map
be,
of Georgia
become Walking
on the
Dead.
Wall,
yeah. yeah, but, so yeah, I'm kind of like that, you know, just like ticking clock. Why do I have to do this and save up money to go there and take pictures and pretend like I had a good time wherever I was? You know, I just right. like the idea of being in a band. Also, just we love rock and roll and stuff, so just to do it as long as possible and not having to you know, experience the whatever soul deaths that real life might provide, where I'm not doing something that makes me, you know, happy in that special way, you know. But that's for me. That and, you know, world domination. We're looking to just amass money, power, influence, drugs, weapons, and just see what we can do with all. We don't know.
You gotta travel to get that stuff too, so you got to make
generally. The other thing we're working on is like becoming masters of the dark web or the deep web. So it's a 2-pronged approach. You know, get in on that dark web world.
The future's digital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's dark digital.
It's dark digital.
It's deep digital.
Yeah. Also preparing for post-solar flare life. So we're going to have to start working on our acoustic stuff just in case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they were talking about this the other day. Apocalypse situations, one thing people don't really talk about is instantly music goes away. Because you're not going to carry around like CDs or even an MP3 player or batteries.
Right, you got to start.
You have to start playing it acoustically.
Yep.
So we all need to start playing acoustic instruments right now. It's all going to be crust punk.
Yeah, crust punk's the only
thing. Post-apocalyptic crust punk.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite obsessed with this during the time I was hitchhiking because it was 2012. I ended up in Mexico all the way down. Do you guys know what the Rainbow Family is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I ended up in one of those. I didn't really know what one was until I was there and figured out, I guess, what it was. But
I don't know what it is. Would you mind explaining it?
It's a gathering of, like-minded hippie individuals, and they work on a barter system. And they travel around, and they set up shop, and they have these big gatherings all over the world every year.
Okay.
Yeah, so
it's somewhere different every time.
Yeah. That's basically what I would say, too, except for, like, just like life, though. Like, everybody has a different experience of that. Some people go there for a party, perhaps. Especially this one was the outside of the Mayan ruins down way down in Mexico in the woods, like in a palm fruit plantation farm. So there's, like, really a popular one, too. I got there very early and then stayed for, like, when tons of people came. And I was there for, like, a long time, like, I don't know how many weeks, 4 weeks or so. But, I was really obsessed with the post-apocalyptic situations and, playing music, traveling, like, what's the important stuff, what are you going to have to learn how to do, that kind of stuff. But
yeah, man, it makes
sense. Music was, like, a service that we were, like, pretty convinced that was, like,
That's a solid
profession. A useful thing. Absolutely. To get good at, you know, and, like, we were really good, like, street performers, like, just performing everywhere and just really good dynamic and stuff like that. So we thought after the apocalypse that we'd at least get some food thrown our way. Whoever Absolutely. Was the food collector of the group.
Yeah.
You know?
Those guys fed.
Is music ever frustrating to you guys?
Well, it's not really frustrating making it. It's fun to make it. Except when you're making a lot of mistakes and you're trying to record something or whatever. Or it's expensive to have all the equipment.
There are frustrations, but yeah, the music part is always fine. But like, how do we get a show here? All the stupid bullshit of like the not actually sitting down, playing your instrument and learning stuff. We're pretty, yeah.
The music scene is frustrating. Yeah.
When you talk about like the flexibility to travel and see different parts of the world and make a little bit of money off of what you're doing, do you ever find that that ambition causes you to make different decisions about the music you're making? Or are they totally separate?
That's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're going to do what we do musically because, I mean, I think I want to be like myself as a performer. Like, I don't think I'm the kind of person who can like pretend too much to be somebody else. I'm just too much of a spaz, basically. Like, I have to be me or it's like that's it, like, or bust, basically.
Yeah.
So like that aspect of it is like non-negotiable, but like I definitely want to figure out like how, like who will, like who's out there that will like me, like as myself. You know, like, where is my audience? You know, I think about that a lot, and I think, like, maybe someone who's purely doing it as a hobby, like, maybe doesn't care that much about it, but it's always, like, been something that's itched at me. Like, the music isn't done until it's, like, enjoyed by a large number of people. And, you know, large for me is, like, in the thousands, ultimately. Like, I'd like to be the kind of band that tours around America and has, like, 200 to 300 people come out in every city.
Yeah.
You know, that's, like, my level of success vision. And I don't even know if, like, I could make a living off of that. But more than that, and I'd be like, who are these people? You know,
I don't know any of these people.
It's not possible for there to be this
is
many.
Is that a bro?
Kindred spirits.
You know, like, yeah. I don't know.
Is that a bro? That's interesting. So, I mean, when you're writing songs, do you push yourself creatively with the idea of an audience in mind, or is the creative process just totally divorced from who might be listening to it?
That depends on whatever song you have going.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. I don't think I've sat down and said, what's a song people would like? And then like G chord, oh no, G sharp, oh no, A. You know what I mean? I don't think I've sat down with the intention of that to ever make a song. So
I think there's like people that I'm into who I maybe I'm like, you know, sort of baiting when I'm writing songs. Like a recent set of songs, like I was going for maybe a certain sound that I was thinking of, like, which, you know, is not very broadly like defined, mm-hmm. but like I had a certain idea of something I liked. So I'm not like particularly writing for any particular like audience or person sometimes, but like I have something that I might like try to be like, oh, I want to sound like sort of more like this band.
There's still an intentionality to
there
what you're
is a
to
certain
create.
Intention, like, but it's pretty vague, like, because most of the time, like, I just like sort of like my general like philosophy of songwriting is just like I want to write music that I'd love, you know. I'm just trying to be a member of the band that I would have been obsessed with in high school or like early college. Like, and I feel like I've achieved that with Matt, of course, and Dylan, our drummer. Like, this is a band that I love, like, but I'm also in it. So, like, I can't enjoy it the same way someone else would. So that experience is for somebody else. But, like, that's the music, like, that I write that, like, makes me want to finish it is always got that quality of, like, oh, I want to know how this ends, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Like, I write, like, fiction and poetry and stuff, and it's always the same way, like I'm interested in it. Like, it seems like it may be like, it's like I made it, but it's not quite somehow it's, there's something in it that's not me that I want to like pursue and help to grow, you know? That's pretty mystical, I guess.
Like, yeah. I think it's fantastic. I think it's an awesome way to think about the creative process. And I really appreciate you guys sharing with us tonight. We have time for one more song. What's number three on your list?
Oh, we should probably play Motorcoat.
Yeah, let's play Motorcoat.
So song doesn't have a name. Oh, yeah, we should play Motorcoat. The song doesn't have a name on it. I know how it goes, and I know what it's called. It's the only one I put on the thing over there, Mr. Nate. But
is this one of your songs?
No, the band's called Motorcoat.
Oh, Motorcoat.
Yeah, they're people that we know now, but we kind of got introduced through somebody and like. Went to see them and then played a show with them. We're like, I'm pretty hooked. But they have an album coming out quite soon or an EP coming out soon. But anyway, this is I finally saw them again and got their like earlier EP, and it's got one of the songs that I was thinking of when I saw them last. I was like, this fucking song. So I don't know the name of it, but
let's give it a spin.
But here it is. Let's give it a spin, Nate.
Well, Matt, thank you guys so much for being on Hard Garbage. Really appreciate you coming out and playing some great music tonight. You guys are playing a Beatles cover show on June 1st here in Portland at the Funhouse Lounge.
Very true.
That's pretty exciting. I'm pretty excited for that.
This is like definite type of dream come true, especially because we got asked. So like we didn't have to, you know, just like we were going about our business and then somebody asked and then immediately started doing a set list to claim our songs. So it's going to be like, we're not fucking around. Not that we've ever fucked around, but we're not.
This is serious, not fucking around.
This is
going
to be the real deal.
What's like the hardest Beatles song to play that people wouldn't
that of the set that we're doing?
Yeah.
What do you think?
What's the hardest one?
I would
that one song where the Beatles covered Dragon Force.
We're doing a lot of like the Abbey Road, like Golden Slumbers all the way through to the end. So that's kind of tricky. We're also doing... Oh, we're doing Because. That's pretty hard to
that's
do
because
the vocals.
Yeah.
With the
we hearts. Have David from Kululu now filling in. We're going to have somebody else, actually our old drummer, but we just got David as of last Monday. So we all practiced it like on the fly last Monday. It sounded really cool.
Did it?
But like, yeah. It's difficult, but we don't have like the little solo bits down where... You know, there's like a little synth thing. Yeah. They'll be on that, but it's a little tricky to sing and play, and the bass line's so weird for... What you're singing, it's just boom, 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 compared to the,
yeah,
the, you know, whatever you're supposed to be singing there, whatever you describe that. But,
well, that's going
to
be a
tough.
Great show. June 1st mm-hmm. here at the Funhouse Lounge. Definitely go check that out. What is the best way for people to follow what you're up to and keep track of other shows that you guys are playing?
Well, our name, our screen name in AOL parlance is We Are the Toads. So you will find that. You have www.facebook.com/wearethetoads. It's probably we're most active, I think, on Facebook. But Matt also runs the Instagram account, which is also We Are the Toads, at We Are the Toads Instagram. That's very good. Very wonderful captions you will find on that. We have a website, wearethetoads.com, also, that I update sometimes. And... we're basically all over the place. We're on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, wearethetoads.bandcamp.com. You'll find all of our music there. You can stream it. You can order a t-shirt. But if you live in Portland, you should just come to our show and buy
don't
a t-shirt.
Go to the fucking internet. Go to the show.
You know, just come say hi. We're totally approachable.
I would
dudes.
Like to say thank you guys for having us, too.
Yes.
And congrats on
thank
being
you guys.
Nominated for... Best new podcast. Correct?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah,
we appreciate
also like
that.
To offer some gifts, if I may.
You may.
I don't know everybody's sizes or anything, so does anybody wear a small? Because we got. There you go. These are Toad shirts that we make. We got a medium.
Screen printed.
And then we have a large mm-hmm. and an XL.
Ooh,
so,
nice.
So who wants?
I'm a large guy.
All right.
What large? About you, Andy?
Well, I'm XL for sure.
I'll take a large. Okay. This is the first on podcast gift.
That's
great. Yeah,
that's
you
fucked
so
up,
much.
Dude. Awesome.
Catch this.
Christmas is every day
beautiful.
If you wanted to be. Also got our albums here. This is the recent EP called Always Be Nice.
Awesome. Thank you guys
this
so
much.
This
one's called The Toads. It also happens to be the name of the band that we play in that we've been mm-hmm. talking about.
Thank you. This is the kind of hospitality that
hey,
people
let us
listen
into your
to the show
Andy
can expect
right
when they see you live.
For children, so we thank
so
you.
Get started by seeing these guys live on June 1st.
Yeah.
Follow them across the internet and show them some love by being at the show and rocking out with them. Matt, again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the
thank
gifts.
You. Thank you, guys. Yeah,
thanks
thank
for,
you so
for
temp
doing
tattoos and
doing.
Pins. Holla.
Oh, sweet.
And thank all of you for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. We deeply appreciate you tuning in. As Matt helpfully mentioned, we are nominated for Best Local Podcast here in Portland. So go to WillametteWeek.com throughout the month of May if you would like to do us the distinct honor of voting for us. You can also reach out to Nate, Andy, and I via email at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's HAUTE garbagepodcast@gmail.com.
It's true.
Andy, what are you taking us home on this evening?
Oh, man. I've been listening to this band quite a lot lately. They're called Moon Duo. They're a local Portland psych rock band.
Absolutely.
And this is the single off of their newest album, and it is so good. Go check out the video. It's really well done. It's called Lost in Light off of their album Occult Architecture Volume 2.
For the Toads, for Nate, for Andy, this is Drew. We'll see you next week on Hot Garbage.